Our guest today is Jill Lublin, and Jill is the author of a new book called The Prophet of Kindness, How to Influence Others, Establish Trust, and Build Lasting Business Relationships. She'll also be talking a little bit about how, from her perspective, kindness interacts with addiction for those of you who are listening for that today. Jill is an international speaker on the topics of radical influence, publicity, networking, kindness, and referrals. She's written other books that she might want to tell you about. She is the CEO of a strategic consulting firm and has over 20 years' experience working with over 100,000 people plus national and international media. We're going to talk to her about kindness today. Jill, it's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Jill, how do you define kindness?
You know, kindness is something that not only is defined, but I think really felt. We all know what kindness feels like, meaning when somebody does something kind for you, I think your heart expands. I know you feel that one feels more appreciative and that one's actions are more influenced. Kindness is an expression of generosity. You know, in The Prophet of Kindness, I actually define sevenfold pathway toward it. One of them is generosity. And I know that as people are kind to us, we not only know it, but the truth is that we feel it. And to me, that's almost beyond definition. You just know it. Kindness isn't a universal act that we know when it's being done to us. We know when we're doing it. And sometimes it might even be, you know, it's funny, people talk about practicing a random acts of kindness. And I think when we should practice conscious acts of kindness, meaning, you know, really know what we're doing and giving people truly kind gestures. That's what I'm lobbying for now, conscious acts of kindness.
Okay, Jill, you're a business writer. You write for businesses. How does kindness impact the bottom line, how much profit a business makes?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I was writing The Prophet of Kindness and when we were researching companies, it was very clear that companies that are more kind are making more money. And what's interesting, if you watch the trends, you know, Honda just did a big kindness campaign with their commercials. Now, you know, a company like Honda isn't investing millions of dollars into advertising if kindness didn't work, if you know what I mean. And the trend in today's companies, bottom lines, and cultures is about kindness. I just spent a weekend at a major conference with major companies. Ford Motor Company was there, and many others that you would recognize. And what's interesting is the topic of kindness was actually in four workshops. So kindness is here. It contributes to the bottom line. I do a lot of consulting with companies and corporations, help them with their teams and to be more kind. And what I'm suggesting is that in the training, in the money that companies are spending, they are realizing that kindness is so important for their employees. So they're investing in it. And we have consistently found that companies that are practicing kindness and have it as part of their mission have happier employees, have customers that are happy, tend to have higher profit margins, and definitely, in general, have higher bottom lines. So kindness equals profits.
Okay. Now, your topic generally is presented more toward business, but out in the general world, we need more kindness, too. Our country is somewhat divided now, and we see a lot of unkind things happening. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, it's interesting about what's going on right now, and yes, we have much division. Now, what I am finding is that kindness is the new respect. So the truth is, you're not going to agree with many things going on at times, and I think that particularly respect right now will be a huge act of kindness, meaning listening. You know, here's a great example. A woman, a consulting client of mine, she was in a lovely French restaurant in Boston for her birthday, and there was somebody, actually a Marine, very opposite of her views, very opposite. And the two of them somehow got in a very heated discussion. And, you know, meanwhile, she just backed up and she said, you know, tell me what you mean by that. I want to understand what you're saying. And just really allowed him the opportunity, which he was quite aggressive in his initial communications, to just explain what he felt, why he felt it, and what his views are. And to be heard. By the end of the conversation, the two of them were sharing, you know, a glass of wine, exchanging hugs, and that is kindness in action. Two very disparate views who could come together and enjoy each other and listen to each other. Kindness really pays big dividends, you know, in business, in life, in relationships, and I think that story is a great illustration of that. We all have the right to our opinions, and it's a beautiful thing. That's what's great about America, and will stay great about America and the rest of the world. So it's also important to listen, and then to have your own boundaries for whatever those boundaries are.
Right. Jill, your book is called The Prophet of Kindness. How would one get a copy of your book, and tell us about your website?
Sure. You go to profitofkindness.com, and that's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T, profitofkindness.com. You can also find it at your local bookstores like Barnes & Noble, and we'd love to, for you to come through. And Prophet of Kindness, you go straight through Amazon and all that fun stuff. And certainly, you know, if I can help you in any way, please email us to support@jilllublin.com. Lots of L's in there, J-I-L-L, L-U-B as in boy, L-I-N as in Nancy. support@jilllublin.com.
Okay. Jill, you may know or may not know that I've been dealing with the problem of addiction in the world for the last 30, 40 years. And my book, Freedom from Addiction, Roman numeral 2, tells people how to help their spouses, children, and grandchildren get over this terrible disease. So I'd like to talk a little bit now about addiction, since we're broadcasting this podcast on iTunes. And the first thing that I'd like to ask you about is, you shared a story with me about your mother who had a gambling addiction, and how kindness related to that addiction. Could you explain to our audience?
Absolutely. Well, I found out later in life that my mother was a gambling addict. And did I mention she lived in Las Vegas? I mean, you know, like, talk about a terrible combination.
You know what? I tell alcoholics, you shouldn't take a job as a bartender.
Exactly. Exactly. So, my mother was a very, neglectful mother, and, you know, I had years of problems with her in many other ways, and same thing with all my siblings, and there's four of us in the family. So when I found this out, number one, we had to do a lot of important things like limit her access to money, because on top of the gambling addiction, she was also becoming somewhat, she had some dementia going on, she was physically sick, and she required much more care. So I have to tell you, you know, from years of a neglectful mother and all of our family being very upset about many, many things that happened to not only to us as children, but, you know, as adults and how she handled things, I mean, really, now what I realize is she was an addict. She was also a narcissist and many other major issues. And so I had, you know, more compassion. And I've done enough of my own therapeutic work and transformational and spiritual work that I was able to, frankly, be kind to her, to take care of her, to take some responsibility for her, which none of my other siblings wanted to do. So out of, you know, four kids in the family, I was the only one who would actually do anything for my mother. And she required a lot of care and a lot of support and many different ways of managing her because she also had this addiction. I mean, I had to go and get a conservatorship over her and actually take legal action since she wouldn't really let me do anything else. So that was really tough, you know, dealing with an addict. Who, and addicts, I'm sure you know, Wynn, have, you know, many kinds of, shall we say, little temper tantrums, big temper tantrums, and they're very emotionally up and down many times, and that's what I had to deal with my mother. And, you know, manage my own workflow and travel around the country speaking and training and try to take care of someone long distance with a guardianship. It was pretty tough. And what I know about kindness was it was the very thing that enabled me to care for my mother in a time that was difficult, to love her no matter what, to know that, you know, in many ways, she was just doing the best she could do with the resources she had and what she dealt with growing up. So my kindness, compassion, empathy toward her is actually what made the difference. And I feel really good about the fact that, you know, in the last 7 years of her life, which is really the time I was needing to be really right there for her, my most kind, my most generous, my most compassionate, and frankly, my most forgiving, was, you know, I feel great that I was able to support her in the end of her life, no matter what, no matter what kind of mother she was, which wasn't a good one, I might add, no matter what her behaviors were in her life, her own addictions, and, you know, particularly her gambling addiction, when we actually had to take the money from her and manage her money and basically say, you know, no more gambling. You know, that was huge. And particularly a person who, you know, she would just go do what she wanted and run her life how she wanted. It was an interesting test of my patience and certainly an expansion of my kindness. Certainly, you know, at every level, it required me to show up bigger. And that was a really kind thing to do. I mean, people who knew my mom, knew my relationship, said, you know, I can't believe you're taking care of your mom. And for me, it was the only thing to do. It was the right thing to do. She's still my mother, and she deserved kindness, too.
Absolutely. There are two primary underlying causes of all addictions, including gambling, and they are low self-esteem and inadequate consciousness, spiritual consciousness, I mean. Did your mother fit into that category?
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely. I mean, I don't know that most people would have seen the low self-esteem, but when I understand a little more about her childhood, I absolutely think that there were many, many issues that certainly were unresolved for her, that she never really worked on. I mean, I'm so grateful for the opportunity in my life to have worked on my own issues, to have gone through my own spiritual and personal transformation, which allows me to be more kind, to be understanding, to be flexible. I think my mother was one of my greatest teachers because she was, frankly, unkind and very difficult, and an addict on top of it, and a narcissist on top of it, and probably other undiagnosed mental illness. So, you know, for me, what I really know is that she did the best she could with her limited resources, and I believe in her lifetime, unfortunately, she didn't do the work that needed to be done to deal with her addiction. And for that, I'm sorry for her, but, you know, what I could do as her daughter was love her and be kind to her.
Absolutely. When I talk to businesses about addiction, I talked to them about how it affects their bottom line, and that all addictions, there are 20-something different behaviors that I try to talk about, will one way or the other hurt the bottom line of the company. It's easy to see on something like if you have a narcotic or heroin addict, that they may not show up for work, or they might show up for work and not do a good job. That's easy to see. But there are all kinds of addictions that impact business. Like, for example, this country's most common addiction right now, I believe, is overeating. And there's a bigger percentage of people that are addicted to food than any other single thing. And if you look around in the workplace, you can see how that impacts business, as it impacts the health of the person that has that problem. Another addiction is anger. And people who are angry have all kinds of things happen during their business experience which are not of a kind nature. They lash out at people. And so kindness really impacts addiction and impacts business in a significant sort of a way. And I think that the work that you're doing with kindness and everything is absolutely necessary in our society these days. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So the book is called The Prophet of Kindness, and you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local bookstore, or you can go to Jill's website. And give us that website again, Jill.
Sure. And actually, through my website, it takes you right to Amazon. So please go to profitofkindness.com, P-R-O-F-I-T, profitofkindness.com.
Great. Okay. I'm going to let you tell me what you think is the major thing in your book that will help people, and so we can see what type of people would most profit from your book.
Well, the truth is, any person in business, plus, you know, in these days, kindness is so important in our world. So we talk in The Prophet of Kindness about return on kindness. You know, every business person is interested in return on investment, and return on kindness, or ROCs, are the foundation of life. So I outline what I call the sevenfold path of kindness, and that includes compassion, flexibility, generosity. Those are just some of the return on kindness pieces, and with that in your life, the truth is far more will happen. And what I know is that kindness equals profits, service, support to women and mankind, and that with kindness, each one of us practicing conscious acts of kindness, what we will see is a far, far better world.
Absolutely. Jill?
That is my final and best words.
Okay. Tell us about the power of giving first.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. I have interviewed many, many business owners, and we also profile many wonderful companies in the book. But here's a great example. Panera Bread, one of the interviews I did. Now, great company, small little franchise owner in New Hampshire that we talked to. This young man called in and needed clam chowder for his grandmother, who was very sick. She really wanted clam chowder, and she was probably close to death. And the man called the New Hampshire store and said, my grandmother really wants your clam chowder. And it was Tuesday. Well, they don't make clam chowder on Tuesday. They make it on Friday. And the woman who answered the phone understood the situation, knew that this would make a huge difference, and made the clam chowder for this young man. Now, one would think, all right, you know, that's a beautiful thing. She, you know, policy was not important in this case. kindness was. And that kind gesture, you know, I'm a PR consultant and have been doing that for many years, and I looked at how does kindness contribute to your publicity? And, well, let me just say, any company who's kind gets more publicity. And this particular instance of Panera Bread and their excellent act of kindness by one woman who made a decision, regardless of company policy, to be kind. You know, minimum wage worker who had nothing to gain from this except to be kind. That one act not only went hugely viral, and as I understand it, got over 250,000 hits of eyeballs, which is amazing. Talk about great publicity. But, of course, her generosity was rewarded with becoming a manager and rising up in the organization because she just did the right thing. That's the point of kindness.
Okay. You talk in your book about integrity. Would you define integrity for me, and then we'll talk about it a little deeper?
Well, integrity is really just keeping your word and doing what you say you'll do. That's as a company, as individuals in the company, as team members. So that's really the main focus of integrity. It's doing what you say you will do. As you know, and again, that's company culture and personally.
And how does telling the truth figure into integrity?
Well, you know, we've seen all kinds of ways in our society when we don't tell the truth, and especially, you know, honestly, in today's world, not telling the truth is something that's very not. It's basically harmful because, especially today, one can be found out so easily, so quickly on the internet, on social media, and companies who are not telling the truth or not showing up properly. Guess what? They also get lashed out at on social media, on the internet, and with our levels of communication today, the good news is that's what's happening, is that very quickly people are called out when they're not telling the truth, when they're not in integrity. Personally, I think this is a beautiful thing. You know, it basically, we're pretty, what's the word? There's a specific word that's escaping me right now, but basically, transparent, that's it. That everything is just so transparent. And I think it's good news in many, many ways.
Someone defined integrity as what you do when nobody's looking.
I love that.
Yeah. It's easy to try to show integrity when everybody is eyeballing you, but when you're by yourself and have to make decisions and things, and nobody has got you under the gun, that's when it's important what your integrity is. How do you think a person can maintain their integrity when nobody's looking?
And I love that, by the way. I really think that's the truth. I always say you're who you are when nobody's looking, right? You know, the reality is one has to make a personal decision that I am who I say I am, that my actions relate to that, that they're consistent. You know, one of the reasons I wrote a book on kindness is because my 82-year-old friend, and I've been friends with her for over 20 years, well, she's dealing with aging issues. And I have done many things to help her. And one of the days I was taking her to lunch, and she said, you know, you're so kind. I wish other people were more kind. And she and I have often talked about this, how in today's society people are a little less kind. And it's just been, I think, between all the pressures and how fast we're going, and, you know, we've lost some of that kindness. And she said, wouldn't it be nice if we had a new currency, the currency of kindness, the currency of kindness? That particular statement sparked me to write this book, The Profit of Kindness, to have it be an inspiration for those in business, for those in life. And, you know, the truth is you're who you are everywhere you go, you know, so you might as well be a good one everywhere you go And there's lots of little things we can all do to improve every day, of course. No one's perfect. You know, that's why every day I look at, have I done a conscious act of kindness? Have I done something? If I haven't, I'm going to send off an email. I'm going to write a personal note. How about those handwritten notes? You know, those are really fun to get. People love them. You know, such simple things like smiling at a person walking by you on the street. You know, the smile is so infectious, so kind. Simple things. Practice simple things, but make it conscious and do it daily.
Jill, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I know that you know a different rule called the platinum rule. Tell us about that, please.
Well, the platinum rule just takes it just a little bit farther, and that's really what I was just saying about being, I just want you to be a little more extreme in your acts of kindness, and just for me, the focus is, like I'm saying, conscious acts of kindness. That's a platinum rule in my book.
Do unto others as they would like to be treated or something like that. I think Tony Alexander said that. Not sure. But anyway. Okay, so you also talked in your book about how Buddhism meets business and the Dalai Lama. Do you have any story about that that you could tell us?
Not particularly, but I will tell you my particular sevenfold path of kindness. It's interesting. Someone asked me, you know, are you a Buddhist? Because your sevenfold path of kindness contains many Buddhist principles. And the truth is, kindness is, you know, the Dalai Lama said his religion is kindness. And imagine if we all took on that religion. Wouldn't it be a beautiful world, no matter what you personally believe?
Absolutely. Another important spiritual concept is forgiveness. Can you relate to us how forgiveness and kindness have characteristics in common?
Yes. Well, to forgive is kind, number one. Let's just say that. You know, in Prophet of Kindness, when I'm defining those seven rocks, return on kindness, one of them is compassion. And to be compassionate, we need to forgive, right? To be forgiving, we need to have patience, which is one of my return on kindness principles. And forgiveness requires patience, compassion. One of my other return on kindness principles is flexibility. And to forgive means you have to be flexible. And sometimes just really let other people be. I had to forgive my mother. I'm still forgiving my mother. She passed away 7 years ago. It's a constant process. I'm not saying, you know, like in 1 minute, or maybe some people can in 1 minute totally forgive. And I've seen miraculous and heard miraculous stories of that. We all have, I think, of the power of forgiveness and how much it really heals so much in our life. So I just, you know, really say to everyone that forgiveness is an essential part of kindness. Absolutely.
Yeah. When we forgive someone, it's not necessarily for them, it's for us, because
that's right.
If we don't forgive, if we have resentment and anger, it causes us to be ill, causes us to die. The other person may not even know that that someone is unforgiving toward them. And forgiveness is not letting the person back in, saying it was okay, and exonerating them from what they did. But it's something that you need to do for your own mental health and physical health. And very important to forgive everybody that you think has hurt you.
Absolutely.
Well, we are pretty close to the end of our time today. Is there anything that you would like to tell our audience that we haven't covered?
Well, I think that walking through life, looking for ways to be more kind, extending yourself in each moment, what can I do to be more kind? how can I speak more kindly? You know, don't forget your primary relationships, those we love so much, who sometimes we're going so fast, we're not even kind to them. I mean, I know, you know, I'm running out the door yesterday to an event. I forgot to say goodbye to my husband, you know. Simple little things like, oh, my gosh, you know, that's important. So to our pets, to our children, to our spouses, to our siblings, every day just say to yourself, how can I be more kind? That's a big one that I want to leave people with.
The Prophet of Kindness, Jill Lupin. Jill, one more time, tell them how to get a copy of your book.
Absolutely. Go to prophetofkindness.com, P-R-O-F-I-T, prophetofkindness.com. And again, if I can help you in any way, please email me to support@jilllublin.com. support@jilllublin.com.
Well, Jill, you've been very kind today to give us
my pleasure.
You and your opinions on kindness and let the world know about it. And I really thank you and honor the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Wynn, and I honor the work that you do, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you for having me.